I'm Derek Thompson, longtime writer with The Atlantic Magazine on tech, culture, and politics. There is a lot of noise out there, and my goal is to cut through the headlines, loud tweets, and hot takes in my new podcast, Plain English. I'll talk to some of the smartest people I know to give you clear viewpoints and memorable takeaways. Plain English starts November 16th. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Ringer NBA show presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Nissan SUVs. It's good to stay up to date like I do with the NBA. You might catch me walking around the street. I'm listening to the Ringer NBA show, or I might be online looking at theringer.com, looking at some power rankings from Howard Beck. Or, you know, I might listen to old episodes of Real Ones. And that's why the 2024 Nissan Rogue has Google built right into its 12.3-inch touchscreen infotainment system. With Google Maps Assistant, you can stay up to date on everything that's ahead without even needing to connect your phone. Find your next adventure with the Nissan SUV. Learn more about the Nissan Rogue, Pathfinder, and Armada at nissanusa.com.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest edition of Weekends with Waz on the Ringer NBA podcast. I'm your host, Big Waz, a.k.a. Wazzy Lambray, and I'm joined by a very special guest today. I know I always say people are very special, but I actually mean it this time, and not just because it's his birthday. It's my boy, Zach Harper of The Athletic, as well as SiriusXM NBA Radio. Welcome to the show, Zach.
Thanks for having me. It's, you know, the dynamic duo is back together. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but we're back together.
It's back together. They broke us up.
They broke us up, man. They broke us up in the most dastardly of ways. Yeah,
but we found our way back,
baby.
They can never stop us. On today's show, I wanted to talk about we're about to be at the All-Star break, so I wanted to talk about the two teams that are at the top of their respective conferences. And, of course, those two teams are the Miami Heat and the Phoenix Suns. We'll get into the Phoenix Suns later, who I think have been kind of going up below the radar and, like, haven't really gotten attention for how dominant they've been this season. But first I want to talk about the Heat, Zach, because I hadn't even talked to you about the Heat this year.
Yeah.
And I already knew you were on the Heat bandwagon. This is the thing. I don't even need to talk to you. Mm-mm. And we can get into it because sometimes I turn on Miami Heat games this season and I have no idea who these guys are that are playing. Large chunks of the season without Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's an all-star bona fide. And Bam Adebayo, if he's not an all-star, he's right there as an all-star level player. They lose two of those guys for two chunks of the season, and they just keep chugging along. How have they been able to do that?
Spo, man. Spo might be – I know you're not supposed to say this because Greg Popovich is still the greatest and all this stuff. Spo might be the best coach in the league. Like, he's just – he's unbelievable because, you know, Bam has missed more games than he's played this season. Jimmy's missed, like, 18 games. Like, it's – you know, it's – they have some significant absences, and yet – this team just keeps winning. Like, it doesn't matter who they plug and play. Like, and I know people get tired of the hashtag Heat culture and all that, but that's real. Like, here are some players who have played more minutes this season than Bam Adebayo. Gabe Vincent, Max Strus, Caleb Martin. They've all played more minutes than Bam. And that team is at the top of the conference. How is that possible? Like, they bring in this dude, Omer Yurtseven, who, like, all of a sudden was dominating the summer league, and it's like, oh, maybe this guy can beat, boom. You plug him in when Bam's out, it's good. Dwayne Dedman, revived. Like, he's good. Like, PJ Tucker comes in and is great. They got Tyler Hero back on track after, you know, maybe feeling himself a little too much going into last season. Like, and even like Duncan Robinson can't hit a 3-point shot at home. Like, he's great on the road. He's terrible at home, but they just find ways to win. Their offense, despite those absences, top five. The defense is top seven. Like, they're just, it's one of the most, if not the best run organizations in the league.
Yeah, and I do, because we haven't mentioned Kyle Lowry, and, you know, I'm always singing the praises of Kyle Lowry because, again, I think a lot of the success just has to do with this guy just understands winning basketball. Like, at every possession, every second of the game, he understands what is the best possible position for his team to be in. Who needs to shoot it? Who needs to get it where?
Right.
When do you need to keep giving it to a hot hand? When do you identify a mismatch? He is just on it constantly. I do want to talk to you about just Kyle Lowry's season, just generally.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, his numbers, I mean, I guess you would expect his numbers to be down from a scoring standpoint because they don't really need him to do that anymore. He's not really hitting shots like he normally would, but the leadership, like, it sounds so cliche, but it's exactly what the Knicks were hoping to get with Kemba, right? Except it's working. Like, it's having an actual effect in there. And he just does, like, he knows when to, you know, throw a 40-foot pass up the court to get things going, and even if it doesn't end in a transition bucket, it gets the transition defense scrambling, and now you have mismatches, and they attack mismatches so well. And I think he's done that thing, like that cliche coach on the floor. He takes everything Spo wants him to do on offense and defense, and he applies it, and he makes sure they apply it. And I think that's the big reason they have been able to just plug and play these dudes when injuries or COVID's hit or whatever, because they can trust that Kyle will keep them organized. And then, like, they have their principles and they have things they want to do as a team on both ends of the floor. But at the same time, while adhering to those, Spo finds a way to kind of adapt to what the talent is on the floor of, like, actually, we'll play this way because we got Strus and Vincent and Caleb Martin out there and Kyle's out there directing. So we know that that's going to be organized. Like, it's just Kyle is truly an extension of the coach on the floor, and it just works.
Man, you mentioned Spo earlier. Well, how I know Spo is a psychopath is that there were moments in the season where he was like calling plays damn near for PJ Tucker.
Yeah.
And like allowing him to be like an offensive player. Cause like the last few years, basically PJ Tucker has been a guy, you stick him in the corner and he makes three corner threes at a reasonable enough rate that teams have to guard him out there. And of course, we know what he's doing on the other hand defensively, just help defense. Of course, his one-on-one defense is legendary. But, like, watching Spo, this is how you know he's a mad scientist. It's like, PJ Tucker has been a nothing entity on offense when he was with the Rockets and even when he was with the Bucks last year. And Spo's like, no, like, we know you're an NBA player. We're going to allow you to, like, do stuff with the ball in your hands. It's remarkable.
Yeah. There's moments where I'm like, does Spo think that PJ Tucker's DeMontis Sabonis? Like, he's using him the exact same way. And it does, like, the audacity, right? Just like, you know what? Screw it. Yeah. Let's pretend you're in the Ukraine league again. And like, and you just show out, you just ball out. Like, it's incredible the way they're just trying stuff. But it seems like everything they try on both ends of the floor, it just works. Like, they just, the plug and play, like, it can't be overstated.
You know, Amin came on here last week, and he mentioned that he feels like, because I think the Bucks are the favorite to come out of the East. I just think when they have all their guys, they look spectacular. You know, I'm worried about the Brook Lopez of it all, but I just think, like, when Middleton, Giannis, and Drew Holiday are playing, they're just tough, you know?
Yeah.
But Amin was like, I think the Heat present an interesting matchup because their defense is so rudimentary. The Heat, with all their ball movement stuff and the way they spread people out and how precise they are at attacking stuff after the initial point of attack and making you guard the entire defensive possession, which the Bucks have not been great at in past years. Amin says he thinks that, you know, the Bucks present certain problems. So what do you think about the Bucks and Heat matchup if it presents itself in the postseason?
Well, I mean, infamously, on our old podcast together, my current podcast, you know, a couple years ago, I tried to tell you guys the Heat were coming for the Bucks in the playoffs, and we got to the bubble, and what happened? They smacked them, right? Just embarrassed them. And then I told you guys last year, yo, the Heat are not going to duck the Bucks, Then Brent Forbes maybe outscored Jimmy Butler in the playoff series and they got swept, right? So, you know. So I'm one and one on this one. But I think Giannis can go nuts and it could be a wrap, right? Because if he's able to withstand whatever they're throwing at him defensively, there's even as good as Bam is, there's nothing they can do if Giannis is playing like he did last year. But I do think the lack of Brook Lopez really does hurt that matchup for the Bucks because he presented such, like he was rim running at the start of possessions and they didn't have it. Like even Bam's not strong enough to push him out. Yeah. Like
he's too big for Bam.
Brook's a monster, man. And he's still so strong around the basket when he wants to be. And so when he was rim running, there was nothing they could do to push him out. And then he can float out to the 3-point line and be a threat. And then defensively, you know, yes, they have to go under everything and they have to drop coverage against everything. But they do such a good job of keeping you away from the basket that it, you know, they'll take those chances, even though the Heat are the best 3-point shooting team in the league this year from percentage wise. Like, you know, I do think if Brook's not out there, yeah, the Bucks can still scheme something and still be great. And they still have a lot of talent. But it's funny thinking about the two rosters, because going into this year, my concern for the Heat was just, I don't know if they have enough depth. And they found four rotation guys out of nowhere that now you like completely trust out there. And with the Bucks roster, I do look at them like, ugh, there's not a lot of depth on there. You know, it doesn't take long before you're wondering like, all right, can Giannis's brother play 20 minutes tonight? Like, and I don't think he can. And so, yeah, like I do worry about that matchup a little bit if Brook's not out there, but you know me, I'm rolling with the Heat.
Yeah. Yeah. I just think Giannis is at a place where he understands the assignment so well. He's cut out a lot of the fat from his game where he was doing Kobe routines and dribble, dribble, dribble from 30 feet out. He's cut so much of that out. And I think as a defender, he's really understood his purpose as just a menace every single facet of the court defensively.
Right.
Like, I love when he comes to the level of a pick and roll because he's so huge and guys are like, there's some daylight, but nah, no thank you.
No, that daylight's a trap. That daylight is like, hey, I bet you think you can get this ball here. You can't. No, like, I'm going to take it from you.
Don't even think about putting that up.
Yeah, don't even think about it. And yeah, that's the thing. And I think, too, like, Drew, right? Like, Kyle Lowry's an incredible force and Tyler Hero has been back to what you would want him to be and maybe even more this season. But Drew could still lock both those guys up. Like, Drew is still, like, he's still the best at this defense thing when he wants to and when he locks in. We saw that during the playoffs last year. He was so good. Like, I know he got a lot of shit for, you know, missing
some
shots
of the stuff
in the playoffs.
He was doing on offense was
it was a little out of pocket.
It was tough.
It was a little ambitious. But when defensively, like, he can still lock anybody down.
Yeah, and then, of course, there's the other matchup, the Brooklyn Nets, who just, like, there's so much in the air with them. But what I will say about Miami, why I like them against a team like Brooklyn, is that I don't think they'll have to get into rotations. That's where Brooklyn kills you, right? Yeah. Where it's like, you get into scrambling rotations, you don't know who you want to cover, whether it's Kyrie, James Harden, Kevin Durant, Patty Mills, Joe Harris, and you just completely, you're giving up threes to incredible three-point shooters, right? Yeah. But I think the Heat, if Bam, Jimmy, PJ, and Kyle are right, those are four guys that you can switch a majority of those Brooklyn pick and rolls and things like that. Not that you want Kyle Lowry guarding Kevin Durant on a given possession, right? On a switch. However, it's not a train wreck. If it happens, you know, it's not a train wreck for Jimmy to be on Kyrie Irving or James Harden. I just think they have the defensive talent, tenacity. And of course, Spoelstra is just, he's a wizard when it comes to game planning and scheming up stuff and figuring out how they want to go about attacking Brooklyn offensively. I think they present a problem for the Nets in a potential playoff matchup.
Well, especially like, look, we know that James Harden is not happy there, right? Him being asked about that at the press conference, like, not that I didn't believe the reports, I just wasn't sure, like, okay, am I going to really believe that this is, you know, I was kind of on the fence. And then I heard him try to deny the reports in the way he did.
He's like, it's reports.
Yeah, he's like, reports. You didn't hear from me. I was like, okay, that shit's true. Like, that's all I needed to hear. Like, that was the worst, like, example of, like, lying your way through a story. And so, like, look, I don't know if that's going to affect how he is in the playoffs. I think he's still adjusting. I actually think he's played better than most people give him credit for this year. But the thing about that matchup is the Heat have to adjust to what the Bucks are doing. The Heat don't really have to adjust to what the Nets put out there, right? Like, right. It actually kind of plays more to the strengths of the type of lineups that Spo wants to throw out there. And just the way he varies up all those zone coverages, like, KD's still going to get his, but you can weather a 40-point storm from KD as long as the other guy's out there. Plus, Kyrie's not going to be there for half the series. I can't get past that story enough. Like, he's not going to be there. That's weird. It's like, remember when, like, Roger Clemens was only pitching home games for the Astros? Like, that's what that feels like.
It's crazy because, again, like, and I've said this already on Bill's pod on this one, I was like, I can believe the thing about that report that I could believe the most was Harden being a little frustrated with the Kyrie thing.
Yeah.
It's just like,
That's not what you moved your way there for, right?
Bro, like, you just won't get
the
jab?
You went there to be a big three. Yeah, exactly. Like
have me and KD turn into zombies or, like, because we got the, like, what?
Right.
What are you doing? Like, what are you doing? Well, I can 100% buy into that.
Also, like, look, we don't have to get deep into that part of it, but right. You're going to be a voiceless or a voice for the voiceless by not talking? By posting, like, Instagram art, that's not really a voice for the voiceless. Also, the voiceless are pretty fucking loud most of the time. Like, right. It's not like they're hurting to get their name out there.
Yeah, it's amazing. And again, it's not just that. It goes back to last year, too, where he took so many PTO days. Where it was just like, yeah, Kyrie's not playing because personal whatever. He just doesn't want to play right now. He's not feeling well. And it's like, for those guys to watch him... And, let's face it, it's kind of diva behavior.
But you know what I mean? What's funny is Harden did that too. Like, remember, like, his friend was becoming a girl boss or whatever that was? Like a,
oh,
like,
yes.
So he did it, and then he goes and sees Kyrie. He's like, hold on a second. This is not acceptable. We can't be doing this.
No. I'm not used to playing on teams with guys that I count on
exactly,
aren't held, like, accountable. I'm the one that's unaccountable here. We don't do that. So I'm really fascinated just by the Heat season. I can't wait for the playoffs because I think these matchups are going to be so fascinating on the Eastern Conference side. And, I'm on record. I think the Bucks are going to go to the finals, but I think Miami is right there with everybody else in the conference. Just watching the intensity level on a game-by-game, because a little birdie told me you guys have been ripping me for my Hawks pick.
Wow. Ripping is... Look, one, Hawks look a lot better lately, right? Trae Young said, no, it's not for the Hawks pick. It's the dismissal of my Memphis Grizzlies. Running you into the ground, man. Like, just making you look so bad. Like, this is way worse than how I looked after the Bucks swept the Heat. Like, I took my lumps, but this is a season-long... That was a week, right? Like, they were done in a week.
Bro,
this is a season-long just annihilation.
They have been making me look horrible. It's
but
like
don't give
so
in.
Bad.
Waz, you can't give
no,
in.
No. I'm not going to concede.
Because the second, like, Anthony second Davis win, dunks on him. Yeah.
Bro, the second they don't win a playoff series, I'm back on their asses.
Right, yes.
But whatever. We're going to leave that for another day.
This episode is supported by State Farm. Man, I remember when I first got into a car accident, it was pure frustration because I did not have State Farm. And now that I do have State Farm, it is an exclamation of pure joy. But the only words that you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com.
This episode is brought to you by Arby's. There are so many excuses not to try Arby's. Things like, who the heck is Arby? I don't feel like a sandwich right now. Or how many times do I have to tell you? I'm vegan! Well, excuses end with Arby's Free Sandwich Month. Arby's Rewards members get one free sandwich with purchase every week in April, online only. Now trying Arby's doesn't sound so crazy, does it? Join Arby's Rewards and order ahead today. This episode is brought to you by Visible Wireless. Don't miss the premiere of your new wireless savings with Visible. It's time to switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. That's no hidden fees. No, really. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And I do want to take it to the Western Conference, where the Suns are comfortably at number one at 39-9.
Yeah.
Okay. They're second in the league in net rating, only behind the Golden State Warriors. Top five defense, top five offense. They look incredible, yet nobody seems to think they're like the team to beat in the NBA and when the playoffs roll around. I just find that strange. Like, look, I'm a Devin Booker guy. I remember when people were calling him empty stats person, where he puts up numbers, but, you know, the defense was horrible. He sort of had a tunnel vision. It wasn't a playmaker, especially early on in his career. He was a bit of a chucker that way. But, however, I just remember thinking, like, yo, nobody seems to be able to stay in front of this dude. His jumper's wet. The playmaking is coming around. What the hell am I missing right now with this dude? You know, and then voila, they get way better players around him. And now he's, you know, he's probably the second best player on a team that's at the top of the West, right? And again, they're guarding the hell out of people. That's kind of my favorite thing. Like, some people like the ball movement, which is great. Like, the ball whizzes around over there. And they've definitely taken on the identity of Chris Paul, who, by the way, me and Rob Mahoney got into an argument. He believes Chris Paul should be starting in the All-Star game over Ja Morant. I was like, no, thank you. Give me Ja Morant.
Nah,
give me dunks. Give me highlights. Yeah. Give me superficiality. Get out of here with this team success bullshit. I want all stars. But that's neither here nor there. I just think what they do on defense is real, you know? Yeah. And I think that can carry on from series to series when you're not playing Giannis Antetokounmpo. And so, yeah, it feels like they should be the team that everybody's picking to come out of the West. What are you to make of the Phoenix Suns this year?
Yeah, I mean, they're the best team in the league, not just because of their record. Like, they're just flat out the best team. They can play any way that they want to. And I know, like, look, I'm excited that the Warriors are back and they look incredible. And, you know, once Draymond's back on the court with Klay and with Steph, like, it's going to look like 2005 or 2015 all over again sometimes, right? Like, it's going to be incredible. But if you look at the team who is built to defend that, it's the Suns. They can defend any way you need to. And even, like, the Giannis stuff in the finals last year, that was because, like, they didn't have, like, they had Frank Kaminsky to throw out there when DeAndre Ayton got into foul trouble, right? Like Frank Kaminsky's not going to stop anybody in the NBA, right? Like, that's just not going to happen. And so with that, like, they went out and they got JaVale McGee. They went out and, like, picked up Bismack Biyombo, who looks great for them right now. Yeah. Like, they actually have that depth now.
Bismack Biyombo, shouts to Desus and Mero. he is a great backup big.
Yeah.
If you want him playing 32 minutes a night.
No, it's going to be.
No, because he has these mental lapses where it's just like, bro, like, come on, you're a pro now, right? And same with JaVale McGee, like, spot duty, non-starter minutes.
Right.
That's completely fine. And they got two of those guys, which I think is incredible for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, like, Ayton's missed, like, 20 games, and you would never know it, right? Like, because they have the depth there now. And I don't know. I just look at that team. They can hit threes. It's a Chris Paul team that plays fast.
Yeah, you know, which has never been the case.
Like, their pace is really high. James Jones brought in a bunch of good players. Monty Williams shaped the culture. Chris Paul hammered it home. And it, like you mentioned, Devin Booker, it's so crazy. Like, we've had all these, like, should Jokic be the MVP? Look at what they're doing when he's not on the floor. They're terrible. And, like, oh, Giannis is back. He should be it. Ja Morant, Kevin Durant, like, you know, Steph Curry. What about DeMar DeRozan? Like, we have all these guys. Joel Embiid's in the mix now. Devin Booker's putting up 25 points, 5.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists a game on the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Doesn't get a mention, right?
No.
Like that, like that's crazy though, right? Like, as good as he's been, and it's truly because, like, he and Chris Paul just split that credit. like right down the middle. Like that's just where it goes, and no one considers them for this, for these like, you know, accolades. But this is a team, like if you told me, hey, I came back from the future and the Suns won the championship, I wouldn't be like, wait, how did that happen? I'd be like, yeah, that sounds right to me.
Yeah, and what I love is the humility to be like, yo, Chris Paul can't, we have no problem with Chris Paul being a closer at the end of games, right? Like, Chris Paul doesn't exert himself to the fullest extent all game long because he can't. The guy's body is broken down 3 trillion times already in his career. And he saves it for the fourth, and Booker's like, yo, I'm going to do all of the attention grabbing stuff to suck in defenses, to give you room to operate. Like, what he does, like, off the ball, obviously he's not a Steph or Reggie Miller or Ray Allen off the ball, but for somebody who has as much on-ball juice as he has to do what he does off the ball to attract the attention of defenses and do the spot-up stuff, it's just incredible. I'm proud of the dude, that the player that he's become, because he did, he was getting a lot of shit. A lot of shit because the Suns had crappy teams around him.
Because he couldn't win with Dragon Bender. Like, like, you know what? What's funny, what hurt him, I think, from a PR standpoint is just the fact that, like, that 70-point game and a loss where they're, like, fouling to get him more chance to get to 70. Yep. I think that, I mean, even Jay Crowder at the time, like, you know, was shitting on him on social media and stuff, and they're going back and forth. And like, that left, a like, I think, a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And so I got asked about this, you know, and Suns Twitter was mad at me because they're like, why doesn't he get more credit? And I didn't say he was. I'm like, look, when you have a dude putting up big stats on a bad team, the question is this dude, like, the empty stats, the looter in the riot, whatever, right? Kevin Love went through it. Devin Booker went through it. You know, Andre Drummond went through it. And sometimes the answer is no, this dude's legit. And sometimes the answer is, yeah, this is garbage. Hassan Whiteside putting up empty ass numbers every time he's on the floor, right? But Devin Booker needed to learn how to do that stuff. Like, once you got a good team around him, oh, he's actually a really good defender now. Imagine that when he's not, like, having to score 50 points to bring Marquise Chris and Dragon Bender to within 10 every single night.
Coming along has been a revelation, of course.
And I think it helps having guys like Jay Crowder and Mikal Bridges on the team. Like, Mikal Bridges, like, that dude might be the best wing defender in the NBA, right? Like, he's so good. And just having that, like, it's just the culture of, like, when all these guys want to do something that is sacrificing for the team, and the superstar sees that, and the superstar's like, yeah, I can do that too. That's when you know you have a special culture.
Yeah, and we mentioned the Warriors, who, again, are right behind them at 37-13 themselves. They're leading the league in net rating. Quiet is kept. And I know Rudy's been in and out of the lineup. Donovan Mitchell has been in and out of the lineup. Quiet is kept. My Utah Jazz.
Your boys,
are third in net rating in the NBA with all of this lineup fluctuation. I still think... I personally still think they're at the level of the Suns and the Warriors, even though they've never shown it in the history of their in the history of this iteration of the franchise. I don't know why I can't quit Utah.
No, man, but Waz, you're right. Like, they are as good as the Suns and the Warriors in the regular season. Like, you have to put some respect on the regular season Jazz. You know, when they get to the playoffs, you know, they become the Timberwolves all of a sudden. But, you know, in the regular season, that's a bad team right there.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, so because I think most people think it's going to come down to Phoenix and Golden State. Everybody is done pretending that the Lakers are anything other than a train wreck.
Oh, my God.
I think Memphis is too young to actually pull something off.
I think Memphis needs another guy, right? Yeah. Because like, there's going to be a point in the playoffs, and maybe Ja will just be so good.
You mean it's not Dylan Brooks?
No, I mean, it's not the guy who shoots under 40% from the field. No, it's not him.
Don't get me started.
But they do need another dude that can create. And I don't see them needing to make that push. Like, you go into the playoffs this year, you see how it looks now that you're going to have some expectations. And then you go out and see, you know, how you acquire that second guy for him. I don't think Jaren Jackson is that guy on offense, obviously defensively. And he's good on offense. He's just not.
Yeah.
He's not going to take over stuff.
He's a finisher. Yeah. He's not an initiator. He's not a guy that you just soak up possessions from his offense, right? Like, he's not going to draw two because a big man is guarding him. He's just not one of those guys. It's dope that he's such a good three-point shooter, even though his jumper, his percentage is down this year. I think he's about like 31-32%, where in the past years he's been around like closer to 38-37%. But like, you know, he's still wetting his free throws. So like I wouldn't leave that dude open. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think he's still a good shooter. I just think like, look, is Bane, I gotta put some respect on
he's
Bane.
He's good, man. He's also, they just really good. They talk so they much. I was actually talking to Jaren Jackson Jr. on the radio last week, and I was like, you know, asking him about that mentality. He goes, "Do we really talk that much?" Like, he was like acting like he didn't know. I was like, "Are you kidding me? You watch the rest of the league? Like, you pay attention to your opponents?" Like, no, Dylan Brooks alone.
He's out of control, dude. Like, I'm just like, yo, this dude is trying to start fights on the court.
Yes, and Desmond Bane. Because Desmond Bane walks like a football player.
Yeah.
Like, he holds his arms like a football player. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, he's a running back.
He's ready to go at any time.
But that's the thing, though, with Bane and Brooks, right? Against potentially, you know, let's just say potentially in a second round matchup, if they end up at the four seed, a second round matchup against the Suns. When you're trying to score one-on-one against Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, and then you got Ayton Helpside, it's tough.
That's gonna be Chris Paul digging down to like swipe Devin Booker swiping, like, it's going to be really hard.
Much respect as I got for the Memphis for, like, finding these guys where they found them, right? Yeah. Like, we talk about Miami's player development. I think that's incredible what they've done, you know, to get Bane where they did, to develop Brooks how they have, you know, and some of the other guys, the other younger guys. But in a playoff setting where Phoenix has you completely scouted and – again, you guys, those two guys, not Ja. We know Ja's Ja.
Ja's going to be great,
He's going to kick ass.
Ja's a genius, man. He's a genius out there. Yeah.
He is. He really is. And his, like, his able to find stuff, anticipate where the opening is going to be when he's finding dudes on a playmaking tip. Yeah. Of course, we know the acrobats and nobody can stay in front. Like, we know the wild stuff, but, like, the subtle stuff that he does is incredible. And I think he's going to do that in the playoffs. But how they can win is because these other guys are making stuff happen. And I just don't think those dudes are there. And that's what I was trying to say, Grizzlies fans.
Don't let Laws back out of this. He was saying you were a play-in tournament-ass team that was going to get smacked in the first round. That's exactly what Laws was saying.
No.
I've known this man too long. Trust me.
First of all, I was comparing Ja to Steph Curry, one of the 15 probably top 10 hoopers that ever laced them up. I thought I was paying the guy a compliment. Everybody took the other part where I called the supporting cast man and ran with it. I don't know why.
You don't know why. Grizzlies fans, let me tell you what the B in Beale Street stands for. It stands for Big Waz is lying right now. That's what it stands for, okay? He was trying to say, like, I don't even think he was convinced he'd win the play-in tournament. He's probably going to talk himself into Karl Anthony Towns stepping forward eliminating the Grizzlies.
No, you protect that
3 seed, Memphis.
No, you protect it.
And watch him cower when you take down the Warriors in the second. I don't actually believe that part, but we'll cut that if we need. But
yes, no, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if they stay on the 3 seed, I think the Warriors, of course, defensively, the best team.
That's tough, yeah.
Nate Duncan came on this podcast and said that's the best unit in the NBA, the Warriors defensive unit when Draymond is right. It's going to be too much for them. And if they slip to the fourth, I think Phoenix is perfectly...
Yeah, Phoenix is too hard of a matchup. Yeah,
to step up against them. Yeah. But yeah, I think Phoenix is going to the conference finals. It's going to be a matter of can they, you know, take care of the Golden State Warriors or, you know, whoever else might get there. And I just feel like it's them, you know.
Yeah.
Early in the season when the Warriors went on their run and they were shocking everybody, everybody's like, damn, are the Warriors going to be back? And I think there's something to be said, like, I need to see somebody beat Draymond, Steph, and Klay in a playoff series when those guys are completely locked in and relatively healthy. Because, like, you know, I remember what they did to Portland in 2019.
Oh,
just like that. Rude, KD goes down and it was so mean,
but
Waz, what they did to them.
There's one thing that worries me about what you just said, okay? Like, you need to see someone take those three down, right, when they're healthy. Draymond said that on a podcast recently. It's like, hey, no one's beat us, you know, when we're all together and we're healthy and everything.
2016 in a playoff never happened?
Series. Well, he got suspended, remember? He got suspended for a game. And then, but so he said that. God, but you know, that sounds like Doc Rivers, right? When Doc's like, well, no one's ever beat us when I started.
Nobody's ever beaten Ubuntu. Yeah,
still, exactly. Still undefeated. And so it worries me to adopt that attitude. I like the confidence from Draymond. I like the confidence from you there. But I just get a little bit of a Doc Rivers vibe there. And I don't think you want that if you're Draymond and the Warriors.
Yeah, you never want to go super confident with a lineup predicated on starting Kendrick Perkins. No disrespect. But like, I don't know if you ever want to go super confident with that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really blown away by what Phoenix has done this year.
I mean, I really do think they're the best team in the league. And I do think like they would be my favorite to come out of the West right now. I know everyone's on like, and that's not disrespect on the Warriors. I just think they're a more complete team. The question though is, can someone, you know, can Devin Booker match Steph? If Steph goes off in a series, can Booker match that consistently? Maybe. I don't think it's out of the question. And then defensively, is there anyone on Phoenix as good defensively as Draymond when he's healthy and locked in? No. Like as good as Bridges is. And so if you have the best offensive player and you have the best defensive player,
right,
that's a tough starting point. But I still like the Suns team more than anybody.
All right, well, you heard it here first, y'all. Zach Harper picking the Suns to win the championship. Guaranteed. Stamp it. Rubber stamp that
thing. We got Suns-Grizzlies conference finals. Lock it in. And the winner gets to play the Heat.
I love it. Zach, tell the people where they can find you, bro.
Oh, man. At Talk Hoops across all socials. Check out the Athletic NBA show. Check out The Athletic and check out SiriusXM NBA Radio.
Love it. See you guys next week. Peace.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.